been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, hey, here we go. Josh already said it before we started recording. It's the last show of 2022 for The Call. Here we go. It is Ravens Steelers Week prime time under the lights, baby, at M&T Bank. Joining me as always to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Festivus season. I'm doing great. For last one of 2022, should I do the old joke? See you next year. I hate when people do that. I'm like, stop. It's the oldest joke in the book. I know people mean well, but it's just fun to poke at it. But yeah, man, my favorite week outside of Shark Week is Steelers Week, and they both start with an S. How about that? Love this week, and it's number two installment. Holiday edition, New Year's edition, Sunday Night Football edition, Blackout edition, all the editions. I can't wait.
Are we getting black jerseys? Is that official?
You didn't know that? Come on.
No, I swear I didn't.
We are all black on Sunday night. Black pants, black jerseys.
I love it. I love that. That's my favorite combo.
Yeah. No, that's my favorite combo.
You can't have it. It's mine. I already said it.
We just become best friends? Yep.
All right. Well, hey, man, how was your Christmas? Was your
blue cheese?
We've been over this all year.
We're not friends anymore. I was trying to trip you up, thinking you would change it here. Come on.
Let me ask you, how was Christmas for you? Did you enjoy yourself? Did you and the family have a good Christmas? What was it like?
We did. We had family visiting. It was great to see them. Great time celebrating as always. How about with your family? How was it?
It was good. Yeah. It was really good. I started the day in Baltimore, enjoyed some Christmas breakfast with my girlfriend, almost burned her place down twice, had the smoke alarm going off twice. Yeah, I'm not a good cook. I'm a griller. I'm not a cook. So had that smoke alarm waking up the neighborhood twice.
Oh, man.
I finished the day in Ocean City, which was really nice. Opening up some gifts with my mom and my aunt. So that was a lot of fun. Made sure the dog Finn was nice and spoiled, doing all that kind of good stuff. But I got to tell you, the funniest thing happened Christmas Eve. I went to a 4 o'clock service. My girlfriend is at her church, and she was doing some of the readings.
You didn't try to burn that place down, I hope.
What's that?
Just kidding. I hope you didn't try to burn that place down.
No, I did not. No, but
I was gonna say, geez, man, I'm just messing. I'm totally kidding, everybody. It's not burning new churches. I'm just kidding.
Yes,
totally kidding.
But it was really funny. So it was like a 4 o'clock mass. So it was at the tail end of the Ravens game, and mass is great. It's beautiful. You know, church looks great. Great stories and everything. And I put my jacket on, my winter coat. I have a Ravens logo on my left shoulder. And it's Darius Rucker's winter jacket, if you saw that on Fanatics earlier this year. That's the jacket I got new for this year. It has a Ravens logo on the side. I'm leaving, and I'm shaking the priest's hand and saying Merry Christmas. And he goes, hey, do you know if we won or not? And I was like, and I was like, do I get in trouble if I do know the score? He's like, no, you're fine. I'm like, yeah, Ravens won. We're in the playoffs. And he goes, oh, that's great news. Great news. Merry Christmas. So
that's awesome. You're going to get, you almost burned it in line at church. Am I going to get in trouble if I look at the score? Like, hey, I just happened to look down and I was reading my Bible on my phone and I just saw the score notification popped up. It wasn't my fault. Like, it's all good, man. Well, I'm glad you can share the good news and of course, everybody knows it already. It's been a week old. But, yes, happy Festivus, Ravens, with that win. simultaneously with a Patriots loss to the Bengals, which was almost not happening because apparently the Bengals were up 22-0 at half. Uh-huh. And the Patriots about almost came back and they fumbled it in the red zone near the goal line. Could have basically went ahead for the touchdown and would have dashed our hopes. But then it wouldn't have mattered anyway because apparently we needed the Dolphins to lose to the Packers anyway, which ended up happening. So even if the Patriots were to came back and won it, Packers took care of business. We basically needed one of the Dolphins and or the Patriots lose it, for, if not both of them, they did. And Ravens take care of business. A lot of folks were confused about that, and I had to clear the air because everybody was like, wait, I thought we controlled our own destiny. I'm like, listen, people, we do as far as the division. It was a playoff berth because of the way the wins are and the AFC. Ravens would win. They have 10 wins, and if every other team loses, there's only two games left in the season, so they can't make up ground. So even the Ravens went out, or lose out, and they went out, the Ravens would have more wins, so they get in the playoffs. And I was trying to explain it to people. I'm like, look, they're in the playoffs, just chill. And I was just like, everybody get off their horse. I was like, yeah, so basically, yeah, so we can celebrate Festivus Maximus, as we call it around here. Happy Festivus for all. Ravens are in the playoffs, and like I always said from the old year 2000 with Billick, the fine for the P word is lifted, or off, whatever he said, quoting him. It's, now we get officially say playoffs here in Baltimore. Ravens are going to be one of the seven AFC representatives, but where they stack up remains to be unseen.
That's right. So that's a big thing that we know the Ravens will be in the playoffs, just we don't know the seeding as of yet. And that's really going to come down to the last two games being Ravens versus Steelers and then the Bengals next week. So still a lot of football to be played, still a lot of stuff up in the air, but we do know that we are going to have some January football as a Baltimore Ravens fan into the postseason, which is great news. But before we get into the Steelers game, let's go over the Atlanta game. Not a lot to write home about, but I do want to hear about the game day experience because it looked like people were having a great time on Christmas Eve. I saw a Grinch. I saw some Santas. You know, our buddy from London over there said that it was you and I in the stands, that Santa and the Grinch were sitting together.
Read up on the Discords and all that when I get done being at the game. I read up on the social media chatter. Obviously, you know, I'm at the game and I'm doing the festivities and more so because I had my gloves on. I was keeping my hands on. By the way, I must say thank you very much for the military cold gear. That hat so warm, and those gloves are amazing. So
awesome.
Thank you very much. I put them to use. I wore them like pretty much all week, all day. I absolutely love those gloves. I wore them because we did some festivities outside for the family, and I wore them to keep my hands a little bit warm. But, yeah, it was great. I wore the gloves all morning without hand warmers, and they pretty much kept my hands warm until I went to game. And then I kind of like – kept your pair of gloves on it. You got me. And then I put my heavier gloves on over top of it kind of deals. It's awesome. I loved it. Thank you so much. It definitely kept me good for the elements. But by the way, you definitely got to start off with everybody else asking me the same stinking question. How cold were you? actually, it wasn't cold at all, to be honest with you, my bro.
No,
it was not. I was not cold at all.
I don't know if I believe you.
There was no wind.
Okay. Were you on the sunny side of the stadium too?
And yeah, I was lucky because I got a seat upgrade thanks to my buddy Chris. I didn't sit up top in my usual seats. We sat in the opposite side of the stadium. So to give people perspective, my seats are in 517, right above where they come out in the entrance in the tunnel where they do player intros. When the players are doing intros, they were basically coming out of a tunnel and like coming out right at me. So I was in the caddy corner end zone, like across the way, and we were like 20 rows up from the field. So, but we were on the sunny side of the stadium. So I was like, I think if I was upstairs in the shade, you know, because with the new scoreboards now and everything and the way the sun is in the wintertime, I probably would have been a little bit chillier because I'd tell you what, the second half when that sun went behind the stadium, you can definitely tell a difference. So, yeah, the sun, even it was like single digits,
right?
The sun side was definitely warmer. But to be honest with you, look, I dress for these type of elements. I've been in them a while. I know technically they say this was the coldest game on record in Baltimore for football. I still say it was the Bengals New Year's Eve game where they lost to get in the, they basically lost to the Bengals to get the playoff spot. Cause that night it was like 30 mile an hour winds, and the winds, when they're like that, it's like they cut your face. You can't hide from the wind. Like you can wear one layer or 10 layers. The wind's going to find you and it's going to mess you up. But because it was less wind, I perfectly thought I was dressed warm. I mean, during tailgating was an experience. So I'm glad that you've seen some of the footage out there that people are having a ball. I'm telling you what, people were having a ball, and I'm going to give a shout out to all the folks that took the time on Christmas Eve to go. They're brave. They're diehards because it's single digits and everybody's like, I'm chilling in my house, like, and keeping it warm and all that. But Big shout out to Jimmy Seafood. We did the tailgate. They put on a good production.
God, I saw John as an elf. I saw Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, that was funny. He was Buddy the Elf. Me and him were conversing during that. By the way, big shout out to Jimmy's and their sponsors. They got a heat of 10 for us. So nice. That's kind of what helped, kept us good, because I was a little spoiled, right? You know, you got the Jimmy's tailgate, but then I really wasn't cold, because for 3 hours in the morning, I was actually inside a heated tent. So I didn't really get that much exposure to elements only in the game. And then it's perfect. But shout out to the band. You know, Doc Martin and the Flannels played. And I just want to give a shout out to the band. Dude, they were playing outside on the tailgate stage. And there was people outside, like, rocking and rolling and jamming. And right before we walked to the stadium around noontime, they were playing Enter Sandman with Metallica. And we were out on the stage and we're rocking. I'm like, the band was playing, dude, in single digits. So shout out to them. They sounded phenomenal. And they were keeping us going. So
nice.
It was a very light, condensed tailgate. Because obviously being in all 10, it wasn't your typical tailgate with less vendors. But and it was so cold that, of course, I ordered Red Bulls. The Red Bulls were frozen.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, I laughed because, like, I go up and order Red Bull, and the server who was in the Jimmy's truck, she starts laughing. I was like, what's so funny? She's like, they're frozen. And I'm like, that's like, I got to drink that. It's either that or water. So give me the Red Bull. Right. So right. I'm like, I have my choices. So like the can's like half frozen and half like liquid. So like I drank what I could, and it basically like tried to hide it inside my jacket to like melt it. And I'm like holding it and like crushing the can to get it. Like, so it was like really crazy. And then like, of course, people were like, oh, my drinks are becoming slushies, and you have to like kind of drink it real quick. And it was reminiscent of when I went to New England for the 2014 playoffs. I explained to you that was one of the coldest games I've ever been to, where it was so cold I ordered a Dunkin' Donuts hot coffee, and the coffee like froze like a solid block of ice by the time I got back to my seat. It was ridiculous. So I'm like, when it's that cold, it's hard to enjoy beverages no matter what. So, but it's memorable. Like my good friend Candace, she's on Facebook, and she went to the game with some friends, and she said, I commented on Facebook because she was like saying something about the elements and all that. And I said, but that's the games you remember. You don't remember when it's 80 and sunny. You remember when your face hurts and you can't, you're layered up and you can't feel your fingers. And blah, blah, blah. That's the games you remember, folks. So yeah, you might call us crazy, but it was single digits. We were having a ball on Christmas Eve. It was Festivus Maximus. And for all those, I mean, and look, I know the stadium was sparse, and everybody was texting me. I'm like, look, it just came off a bad loss against Cleveland. It's Christmas weekend and it's super, super cold out. Yeah. What do you think? The pacing will be packed out. Now, if it was like a playoff game, I could probably see we being way more packed, but it was hard. Dude, it's Christmas Eve morning and we're out tailgating. We're going to game. I mean, and it was on the weekend of that. So I'm like, everybody's out of town. The bowl, we sat in the lower level. The lower levels looked a lot full than the uppers. The uppers were sparse. But we, for some part of the game, at least when I was in the stadium, it seemed loud. I don't know how it was on TV, but the folks that were there, I feel like we were making some noise, man. We were having a ball.
But that's awesome. It looked like everybody was having a good time. Like I said, I saw
Santa. The Ravens are winning, it helps. As far as the game flow, I mean, I was having fun at Stance. I always feel like everything's a blur. I thought it was your typical what we thought. You know, I think we both predicted lower scoring games. The Ravens, they got out to what they do best, got out for a quick lead, 3-0, and never looked back. And we talked about it, right? You know, the Ravens better equipped for this year's unit to play from ahead than from behind, because now that we know, and we'll get to a bit later, but now we know stats about Lamar Jackson and some company with, you know, Peters and Campbell and everything. It's like, they're better equipped. You better get that lead.
Yes.
You know, because, and we'll break it down, the Steelers matchup too, coming up in Pittsburgh. We talked about it. They jumped out 10-0 lead. And in Cleveland, they got behind 3-0. Here, they jumped out and they got early and they played comfortable with that lead. And the defense just feasted. For some of the times that the Falcons could have moved the ball, the only breath of life that they had was a potential Cordell Patterson touchdown. It was right in my corner and I saw it right in front of me. It was a blatant hold. The guy was like, had him. And then by the time Patterson, so their only technical touchdown ended up being wiped away with a penalty, a holding penalty. And I know R. Smith was living on sidelines, but we were on the Falcon sidelines and we got a good view of it all. So, but they did what they do best. You know, they took care of the business. You know, if it was ugly again, if you thought it was, you know, semi pretty, it definitely wasn't really pretty, but they didn't. To me, even though the game was a little close, I felt like the game wasn't in jeopardy at all. I mean, the way the Ravens were kind of, you know, moving the ball, you know, taking advantage of some clock management and clock, not clock management, time possession, you know, and the step up to the defense, big credit to the defense. The times that the Falcons drove deep in territory, they had it in the red zone, And, you know, with the Falcons being what the record is and out of the playoffs, they were aggressive. They went for it, and shout out to the Ravens. They shut them down. So took care of that business on that end, and the offense just did enough. So I thought it was one of those games where they had to do what they had to do. And, you know, there wasn't a lot. There is one pain point we're going to really talk about. It's probably going to make me pound the table again as I pound the iPad off the table is – the play calling. What did you say? Because I mean, you get different vantage point on TV, and obviously you got the commentary. Before I go into my displeasure of some things, what did you see on the tube? What did you see on the what did you see on the footage on the television as far as the game footage there and the game flow and what you saw? What are your observations of this one?
This to me, it just seems like it is a get out by any means necessary. Just win by any means necessary. It doesn't really seem like there's any rhyme or reason. It was a big deal, the fact that our offense finally got into the end zone. You know, we haven't seen that for so long. There was a drought there. I think it's very intriguing that it was Snoop Huntley who was the one to do that, to finally get into the end zone. I think that the Ravens know what their strength is. Their strength right now is running, and I think that they realized after that terrible play calling 2 weeks ago where they just abandoned the run, that that's where all the strength is. That's what you got to do. I mean, we're going to get tested very much so by Pittsburgh this coming Sunday. But overall, I mean, I think that the Ravens did fine. I don't think it was a great game, but it's another example of the Ravens kind of playing down to their opponent. We saw that once again.
I mean, yeah, we see that a lot. I wouldn't say they played down. I just have a problem with the personnel and the situations they do. Like, I had the lady in front of me laughing and agreeing with me at the same time, because there was a time where the running backs are still having success, right? Dobbins and Edwards are still turning yards. They're still moving the ball for the Ravens. And Greg Roman can't help himself. He's got to call quarterback run. And I'm like, they go right down the field, right? I think Gus Edwards busts out a long run. And then, like, I can't remember. And again, I feel like I can't keep track of downs in certain games or plays in the game when I'm at the game. I need to start trying to take notes, or at least write something down on my phone notes, because, like, on TV, I remember, like, yeah, because I just – on TV, I feel like I follow the game better. Like, live, I'm zoned in, and I'm in the environment, and then sometimes I just think things go as a blur. There was a point in the game where, if I can't remember if it was second down or first down, but whatever, Gus Edwards just had a long run, and then the very next play, it's like they – and it wasn't even – it was a design run because the way it happened. It was quick. It wasn't like Huntley was back there looking and then had to scramble. Like, it was a – like, he got the ball, and then the whole line crashed left, and it was a design quarterback run this way, and he got stuffed for loss. I stood up and I'm like, dude, I lost my mind. And I'm like, Ray Roman, you got two perfectly healthy running backs. Stop forcing the run with the quarterback. And I'm like, what is it with this guy? Like, that's my point. Like, we're not down to our third stringers like we were last year when Gus and Dobbins were out. They're back. Not only back, but Dobbins is getting his legs under him. He had 200-yard, he's coming off of two straight 100-yard games. And Gus is running, man. And he can't help himself. It ruins the game flow. Stop doing it. You're already down Lamar. What happens if Huntley gets hurt again? He had a concussion in the last Steelers game because of that. I feel like Greg Roman can't help himself. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. Like, I was so angry. And I'm like, and it was funny. Right after that, they got on defense because I remember the Ravens, I think, either punted the ball or they kicked the field. They did something where the Falcons literally got the ball back. It was third down. I was so mad. I didn't stand up to cheer on third down. I was so mad. I'm like sitting there and I'm all like grumpy, like Gregory Brummy. I'm like all like still mad, dude. I was that mad. And like, am I the only one who's seeing this? Because I know I'm not crazy. Like, but again, like the lady turned around and laughed at me. She was nodding her head in agreement. I'm like, you get it. Like, he just can't help himself, Brandon. And I'm getting sick of it. Like, it makes me mad because, again, these were the playoff situations that they can't themselves in. You got to play smart. Especially when you're down already one quarterback. Stop forcing a run with these QBs, man. I am sick of it. And there's a table pound. Dude, I rant over. But I'm sick of it. Like, something's got to change, because if this formula is not going to be successful, I understand their playoff team, but they're not going far with this kind of success, especially now, you know, with the status of Lamar and certain, you know, week to week now going into the playoffs, know, is this the offense you're going to see in week one of the playoffs in the wild card round or what, you know? So it's just like, they're not averaging, you know, more than 13, 17 points a game. So their defense has got to feast. Their defense has to hold. And that's the name of the game, but Greg Roman just can't help himself, and it just gets me upset, dude. It really just, I don't know. I'm at my wit's end with it.
I don't think you're going to have a very good week coming up on Sunday as well in this primetime game, because I think you're going to see pretty much the same stuff. Yeah, I think we are going to.
I know it. Yeah. I know it. You know it.
You see, and this worries me too, because, I mean, we don't really, there wasn't much about that Falcons game really that was memorable to me. So, like, if we can start talking a little bit about this Steelers game coming up, I think we still have this three-headed monster in this running game of J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Snoop Huntley. And those are the three guys you're going to see run the ball. However, the Steelers are very good defensively against the run. So they're going to force Tyler Huntley to throw that ball a little bit more. And hopefully he has the skill in order to do that. But if they're planning to run the ball, which that is the strong point of the Ravens right now, so I don't know why you wouldn't run the ball, they're coming up against a defense that is very good at shutting down the other team. So I hope that they're ready for that. I hope that they're ready to do more than just run the ball. This is the point where you abandon the run, not 2 weeks ago where it was working. This one's going to be difficult. So I don't know. Maybe you throw the ball a little bit more in the first half, tire out the defense of the Steelers, and then start running the ball in the second half. Maybe do something like that. I don't know. But I think we're going to see a lot of these guys running on Sunday, and I don't know if it's going to be successful against these Steelers.
You don't think so based on what?
Look at what the Steelers did last week.
On the challenge flag.
Look at what the Steelers did last week. You know, they shut down the run completely. What was it, 3 yards a carry? That's you're not going to win a football game that way.
What, did they play the Ravens?
No, they did not.
But the Ravens rushed 215 yards on 42 attempts on them last night.
They did. So, but
you're worried about what they did against the Vegas Raiders?
I'm thinking,
and they almost lost that game.
They did, but you look at what the Steelers have been able to do since then. Since they've went up against the Ravens, they've improved. They've looked really good, and the Ravens, you know, that last Ravens Steelers game, it's almost like yes, it counts, but there were so many injuries and so many concussions and so many people hurt at that point.
I thought it was to chime in if you can hear him.
Oh, I hear him. He doesn't like what I'm saying. I hear the growls. I know. I get it, Max. I get it. I think a lot of people think that this week is going to be a cakewalk for the Ravens Steelers game, and I think it's going to be rough, man. It is going to be extremely tough to deal with these Steelers because they're only getting better. Yes, they have a rookie QB. If Mitch Trubisky could play the game and then throw it to the Ravens as much as possible, like he did the last time, awesome. Let's see that. But I think that the Ravens are really good at running the ball, but I think that the Steelers are also really good at stopping the run. It's going to be one of those. It's an old school Ravens Steelers game. It's going to be in the trenches. It's going to be a very defense game. It's going to be a very low score. It's going to be a tough one to win for the Ravens, especially without Lamar Jackson or Calais Campbell. Marcus Peters not being on the field. I don't know if that's the worst thing or not, but we'll see. But it's going to be a rough one. This is not a cakewalk whatsoever.
I don't think anybody's saying it is, but I go on prior success, especially the last game they played this year. Ravens held the Steelers at 65 yards rushing. We ran it all over them at 215, and Dobbins had over half those. You know, Ravens dominated time possession. You know, they had the ball for five more whole minutes of game time. They only committed one penalty to the Steelers four. So, like, they beat pretty much the Steelers in most of the statistical categories. You know, the Steelers had 3 turnovers. Ravens had 0. Actually, I looked at the wrong category. Penalty first downs was 4-1 in favor of the Ravens. The Ravens actually had 5 penalties versus Steelers 2 overall in the game. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But, and they were virtually near even in total yards. Steelers had about 20 more yards than the Ravens did. You know, but I just look at that rushing stat. When you look at the charts, it's staggering. And, I mean, yeah, it's like flip-flopped. You know, the Ravens only had 94 passing yards to the Steelers 264. The Ravens rushed for 215 to the Steelers 65. So the passing attack was more on the Steelers, but it didn't help the Steelers when they were down to a 10-0 lead. So obviously, but this is going to be different because now we got Kenny Pickett in. know, and Huntley's back. So we get both of the starting quarterbacks in the last game off of their concussions and they're back playing. So might be a different game flow because we didn't really see, because if my memory serves correctly, did Pickett get hurt in the first quarter?
It was really early in the game.
And what's going to be important is the Ravens defense, the ability to stop the Steelers at certain opportune times, because apart from, and we understand that since the Broncos game, you know, Lamar hasn't been under center, but the Ravens haven't scored above 20 points since the Jacksonville loss in late November. You know, Lamar played in that game and that was his last full game. You know, obviously the first few series in the Broncos game and he was out. The Ravens only scored 10 points against the Broncos. They scored 16 against the Steelers, 13 against the Browns and lost, or 3 against the Browns and lost, 17 last weekend against the Falcons. So their scoring is very sparse. So that's why I feel like the focus point's got to be on the defensive side to stop the Steelers at the certain opportune times in their offense, because, you know, I see the Ravens only putting up 14-17 again on these Steelers. It's going to be, I mean, it was 16-14 the last time. It might even be 13-14 this time. Who knows? The history between these two teams, there's been a lot more games decided by less than a touchdown or at least one score than there have been blowouts. You know, I can only remember one blowout in a Ravens favor, 35-7, starting 2011, if I remember. And then the Steelers blew out the Ravens on, I think, Sunday or Monday football. It was like 40-8. It was like some ungodly score. It was terrible. The Ravens just couldn't do anything that night. So, I mean, it just, you know, that's where I feel like that the concern's got to be. Yeah, it could be, can the Ravens run? I feel like Darren New can run the ball. We could certainly agree to disagree, and that's fine. You know, we can't always agree. You know, it doesn't make for some fun conversation, but I feel like the Ravens are going to have success on running the ball. I just feel like Greg Roman can't undo that by trying to force Tyler Huntley to run it or force these weird play calls in certain times. So I, you know, look, it's going to be another great billing in the Ravens Steelers rivalry. It's number two. It's at our house. It's at nighttime, Sunday night football. Right now could be the season. It is the season home finale for the regular season at home against the Ravens. What better do it on NBC in primetime? On the hinges, that 3 out of 4 AFC North teams playing on primetime, Ravens, Steelers, lock horns. And then you have the Bills and the Bengals to wrap up the Monday night football segment of the year. So we get two great primetime games to ring in the new year back to back, all on the hinges of the week of the evening prior, where we have the college football semi-playoff. So if you're a football fan and enthusiast, you have to be licking your chops. You get New Year's Eve primetime football with the Final Four of the college football playoff. Get Ravens Steelers Sunday night. You get Bengals Bills Monday night. Dude, it can't get any better than this, man. And I'm stoked. I'm just so stoked.
We're recording this late on Friday night. University of Maryland, they just came out of a bowl game with a win. So yep. If you're a Terps fan as well, you know, they got a lot of college football there as well. What do you think is going to be the strong point here for the defense? I mean, last time you brought up the last Ravens-Steelers game, Tyus Bowser had a really good game. Do you think we're going to see maybe David Ajabo make an impact finally on here? What do you think is going to be the strong point for the defense?
Listen, I certainly hope so. I think the strength of the defense is going to be, it's going to be stopping the run and forcing Kenny Pickett to go into the passing game, make them one-dimensional. They did a great job stopping the run last time, even though we saw a Mitch Trubisky more in the game than we did a Pickett, but Trubisky was throwing the picks instead of Pickett. So, you know, and the Ravens baited them and made them one-dimensional. We're stopping the run, but that's why I really can't wait to see what they can do against it. And I would say it could be quarterback pressure, but even though this team ranks more in the top half of the league in QB pressures and sacks, that's not their forte. I feel like the Ravens' forte is stopping the run, apart from, I think, a 99-yard performance with Nick Chubb when that Cleveland loss. I think they have, 22, 23, or 24 something straight games of not allowing 100-yard rushers. So, right. You know, that's still the bread and butter for the Ravens defense. And then now with Marcus Williams back, we know Peters is out and Campbell's out, but I still felt like the defense, yes, it's the Steelers versus the Steelers offense is way better. Well, I'm going to say way, way better, but they are certainly better than the Falcons offense. But the Ravens, I felt like still performed defensively well against the Falcons, even down those starters, and they're going to be down those starters again. Look, rest them for the playoffs. I think the Ravens could be playing with house money because you already know they're in. there's no harm in like getting these guys fresh for that wild card game. But because a lot of people are like, oh, they're just going to throw away the division and since they're already in and rest people. I'm like, but why not? Like, I understand, you know, and I don't think the Ravens brass is looking at this, but for us fans, it's certainly fun to talk about. But I certainly feel like the Ravens as a fifth seed have a way better chance to advance, if you want to talk advancement, than a third seed. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the fourth seed is going to play the fifth seed, and the fourth seed is going to be the AFC South winner, whether it's the Jaguars again or whether we play the Titans. The Titans, you know, they're resting people. You know, they didn't play. Tannehill's out for the year. So if they make the playoffs, they're out. They're starting quarterback. You know, Derrick Henry was out. He was listed doubtful and was out for this past Thursday night's game. So he gets 11 days rest or more of that because he didn't play the following weekend. He just played the following week. So he's going to get that rest. But you look at it. And then if you play Jacksonville, yeah, they're hot, but we get another crack at them. You know, do the Ravens do that with Lamar? It's like, okay, well, if Lamar comes back and maybe steps on the practice field, do you roll him out against Cincinnati with the divisional line, or do you go with Huntley again in hopes of like, hey, let's go into Cincinnati, take care of business, and if we win, great, we get a division win in a playoff game, and we improve to the third seed. If we don't, we're the fifth seed because the third seed is going to play six. You know, they're going to play the six. No, is it? It's 2-7. Yeah, it's 3-6 and 4-5. So they're going to play the sixth seed right now. I didn't look at the playoff picture, but I can't remember if it's the Chargers right now or the Dolphins. But you're going to play one of those at home. I'd rather be the fifth seed. And look, you might call me weird and something. But look, Ravens made the playoffs. Yeah, I like to go to home playoff games and all that. But you know, for the sake of where they are personnel, I'm like, look, be nice to have a home playoff game. But I just feel like, for me, the fifth seed is more attractive. But look, you can't play favorites. It's not my job to control all that. It's going to happen whether regardless or not. And look, they're in. Let's see where they go. It's not like they have to win this game on Sunday night to get in the playoffs. They're in. But you know what is on the line? Not only for the Steelers to try to make it in the playoffs. And what I hear from the masses is the Steelers could be eliminated from the playoffs depending on what happens prior to the games on Sunday night. So right. The Steelers are going to have nothing to play for. But they sort of do. The Steelers under Tomlin haven't had a losing record or losing season record-wise. I think they were 8-8 a couple years, but that's not losing. It's 500. You're even. Losing record's obviously less than 500 winning percentage. And if the Ravens were to beat the Steelers Sunday night, the Steelers for the first time, not only under Tomlin, but in 18 years, they would have a losing season. So I feel like in this rivalry, that's certainly something to play for.
And also,
but the Ravens have to win out to win a division. So this is the key in the machine, right? The key in that whole thing to make it go is Ravens take care of business Sunday night. Not only give the Steelers their first losing season in 18 years, but you win in Cincinnati. It's all set up for us. And by the way, looking ahead, that game's to be determined. Just like the Browns game got flexed to that Saturday, the Ravens Bengals. If you look on the schedule, it actually says TBD. There's no date and time. So interesting. I don't know if they're going to play on that Saturday. So we don't even know. That last weekend of the season, and it very well could be flexed to a night game because apparently that's going to be for the AFC North crown. So, and it's Ravens Bengals, and they were already featured on Sunday Night Football. Let's do it again back to back. Who knows? But let's get through Pittsburgh first, and let the Bengals get. Let's see what happens with the Bengals Bills game before we determine on where to play. But if you're looking ahead, no one knows when that game's going to be, so it's going to be even more intriguing.
Yeah, right now it's Ravens Jacksonville.
Is it four and oh they
four and five
Ravens, six? 4-5. Oh, I couldn't see. Yeah. 4-5, 6-3. So that's what I'm saying. The Bengals apparently would play the Chargers in Cincinnati. So that's what I'm saying. And they with 2 weeks to play and the Chargers are in, they won Monday night. So they're in. So I think that seventh seed is to be up for grabs. And then obviously a playoff seed, because if the Ravens somehow went out, went north, the Bengals are going to drop to one of the lower seeds and the Ravens get the higher seed. Yeah. It's great to win the ASU North crown. And look, you know, as a fan, you want that. You want that pride of saying we're division champs. You knock down the Bengals, who are not only division champs, but AFC champions last year. You want to say you won your division and you get that home playoff game. It's a nice perk to have. Be nice for the city of Baltimore to all come together to celebrate the Festivus as it is and go to the Purple Palace and root hard. But let's see where it stacks up, you know. But no, if you're up to me, I love it where it is and get the AFC South winner and let's go on the road and beat them. But then the problem is that's the other thing. Ravens have to be road warriors most likely in the playoffs. If you think they're going to advance anyway, they're going to be on the road the whole playoffs, being a lower seed. So, you know, the work's cut out for them, but it's fun to slice and dice, but you got 2 weeks left to see how it all settles down. We'll see where they end up at the end.
And you got to think about this for motivation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they were to be eliminated even before the game happens, like you brought up, they have nothing else to play for but that game against the Ravens. All they can do is play spoilers to the Ravens. And that's something to play for. You know, that's more bragging rights. We might not have made it into the playoffs, but we made your road to the playoffs even more, even harder. So you got to think about that mentality right there. Well, that's all they, that's it. It's
But if the Steelers try to play spoiler and they end up being successful, then what we have to do is root for a Bills win. Because if we win and the Bengals, if we lose that Sunday night game somehow and the Bengals line up for football Monday night, knowing what's at stake, we lose, the Bengals win, they're division champs with one game to play. That's simple as that.
I remember when this schedule came out, you and I were saying this, that Bengals game in the last week is either going to mean everything or absolutely nothing. There was no middle ground in there. And that's exactly
everything, right? It's going to mean everything, especially after, trust me, Ravens get through the triple zeros on the clock in fourth quarter and they're victorious on the scoreboard. All eyes, Cincinnati, Ohio, man, it's going to be it for the North. And I wouldn't have it any other way. The last week of the season, the division's still not decided. What better way, bro? I'm stoked. And for these next two games to be where they are right now, and the Ravens Steelers being on Sunday football at home, black jerseys, black pants, all black unis, the black is night. I really can't wait, dude. It just sets up for that electric atmosphere. And I'm really, it's crazy, man. You know, talking weather-wise, I just went to a game last Saturday, which was like it was 6 degrees in my car's thermometer when I woke up. Apparently it was like negative degrees with the wind chill. Apparently it was somewhere between like 1 and 10 degrees somewhere. And not only that, but it's crazy. Last Saturday I was in freezing cold temperatures, my drinks frozen. Before we recorded today, I actually played golf today in the state of Maryland. So now within less than a week in the same state, I attended a football game in single digit degrees. And then I played a round of golf. Tell me it's Maryland, man. It's Maryland. But we're going to get good weather on Saturday or Sunday though, because it's going to be high in the 50s. The rain's going to be out of here by the morning, and it's going to be, I think, mid to low 40s for the game. So we're not even going to be as frigid as we were, you know, headed back out in the elements that we were a little over a week ago. So it's just crazy, and we're blessed at the same time, ringing in the new year and only in style.
Let's go over who we think is going to win this game and scores. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens will get away with a win. It will be a win. The crowd is definitely going to be a factor here, but I think it's going to be very low scoring. I'm going to say 9-3 Ravens.
Field goal fest?
Field goal fest,
by the
baby.
Way, speaking of field goal fest, what's with Tucker having two blocked field goals in a row in consecutive games?
The GOAT, man.
I want someone to explain that to me. What's up with this blocking of the field goal here with the GOAT? Someone explain this to me.
Get
guys
Morgan
block
Cox
better.
Back on
what
the
do
field.
You let these guys get leverage for? Block better.
Yeah.
Block for our guy, but – having another miss like that, like, come on, man. I mean, because it still counts as a miss. You know, it was blocked, uncalled for. Got to get it better. So special teams gets an F. But you're talking a field goal fest 9-3, but you also said the Ravens are going to get away with one. So is it like the Steelers are driving for a touchdown and the Ravens, like, intercepted, or it's fourth down and the Ravens, like, because they're only winning by 6, so Steelers touchdown could essentially win the game or tie it and then with the extra point. So you're thinking it's going to go like that? Kind of like get away with one, thinking like, oh, they could have lost, but they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think it's going to all come down to Roquan Smith. He's going to be the hero of the game. He's going to be the man. That's what's going to happen. He's
next year, but that's another story. Yeah,
exactly.
Roquan, love that guy, especially with his performance at the last Steelers game. That was epic. His first Steelers Ravens game and his first taste of it. And boy, did he ball out. And I think he's going to feast along with the defense as well. I'm going to go a little bit more than that. I see the rate. It's going to be, again, another one of those games where it's going to be only one touchdown scored in the entirety of the game, and the Ravens have to get this one. I'm going to say I'm going to give them one touchdown and 3 field goals. I'm going to give them 17 points, and I'm going to give the Steelers 10. I think they win it by a touchdown, 17-10 Ravens.
Is it a last-minute touchdown, or do they hold that lead for a while?
They hold the lead, and the defense holds in the fourth quarter. And then we run out the clock in style with our ground and pound game and then have victory formation.
I like it.
And we all go home happy.
I like it. I do. I really do. All right, man. Have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Both the Raven, never mo.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over to our Discord. Discord.gg/thecallpodcast. make sure you subscribe over on our server. Join our game day chat. Enjoy our tailgate chat. Show off what you're having at the flock feast. Or you can be like me and not realize on Christmas Eve that you're doing your entire game day chat in the wrong server in the tailgate chat. That's what I did. That's why I'm a professional. But anyway, go over and join our Discord. Now go over to our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you can listen to our show directly on Facebook. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive. Anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It's Ravens, it's Steelers, it's rivalry week. It is Sunday night under the lights. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, in style, thank you so very much. It's been a great year with you. 2022 was one for the books. And how about let's start off a new year with a bang. And not only that, but let's rough up some Steelers, shall we? January 1st, New Year's Day night. The all-black unis. In primetime at the bank, at the Big Crab Cake, however you want to call it, at the old M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore City, and I can't wait till it starts, and I can't wait to get this one started with everybody. It's going to be festive, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be loud, and we're going to be obnoxious, and we're going to take it to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I can't wait to come out here with a win, and then, hey, let's go march up to Cincinnati and take the North, shall we? But it all starts with the second down in Pittsburgh. Let's sweep this season series. How about it? Baltimore Ravens, let's silence those stupid little terrible towels and let them go home crying. With that being said, let's bring it. Sunday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens, rivalry week. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.